From the WGXC newsroom, this is the Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news between Friday, July 15th and Sunday, July 17th. I'm Philip Grant. The State Department of Environmental Conservation on Friday, July the 15th, issued the first statewide drought watch since 2002, according to a press release from the DEC. DEC Commissioner Basil Sago said, and I quote, "While most public water supplies are still generally normal throughout the state, below normal precipitation over the last 9 months, low stream flows, and reduced groundwater levels have prompted the need for action. We are encouraging residents throughout the state to conserve water whenever possible during the coming months," end quote. Greg Hudson reported in the Daily Mail that the Tannersville Village Board will hold a special meeting on Tuesday, July the 19th, to address complaints received about pedestrian safety in the village. Mayor Lee McGonigal said residents are complaining about a lack of visibility and safe crossing opportunities for the visually impaired. The resident told board members last week, and I quote, "There are a lot of safety issues here for people who can't see," end quote. McGonigal said the complaints are valid, but finding a solution could be challenging. The mayor encouraged residents to attend the special meeting at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday and offer their perspective or concerns on the issue. The meeting will be held at the village hall. Rick Collin reported at Capital Confidential that the Public Service Commission has prohibited the sale of energy by ESCO, or energy service companies, to low-income families. The commission says these firms actually end up costing consumers more. ESCOs offer electric or gas service to customers, saying they are an alternative to a given region's established power company, such as National Grid. In an announcement about the moratorium on Friday, July the 15th, PSE Chairwoman Audrey Zibelman said, and I quote, "The record is clear that low-income customers have not benefited from electric and gas supply services from ESCOs when that's all that's being purchased," end quote. William Kimball is reporting in the Daily Freeman, in another recent decision, the State Public Service Commission has given Central Hudson Gas and Electric Company permission to pay customers for control over air conditioning systems during the times of peak electricity use. In a statement released last week, state officials said the program will reduce electric use when demand peaks. Under the program, Central Hudson will ask about 61,000 customers in the high-demand areas of Ulster, Greene, and Dutchess County to install smart thermostats on their air conditioners, pool pumps, and water heaters. The program will offer an $85 enrollment incentive plus additional credits for each piece of equipment enrolled. Under the program, thermostats would be connected to the utility using the customer's wireless internet service. A utility spokesman said, and I quote, "Events or reductions will be called when energy in a particular area nears the capacity of the circuits," end quote. Notifications will be delivered through the smart thermostat or smartphone informing customers when a reduction is taking place. The system would call for a 1 to 3 degree increase in temperature during the peak periods. Customers would have the ability to override the controls by calling the telephone number provided. Matthew Hamilton reported at Capital Confidential that Kinderhook Republican John Faso has nearly $148,000 on hand following the federal primary last month. Faso is the GOP candidate for the 19th congressional district race against Democrat Zephyr Teachout. Faso raised more than $178,000 between June 9th and June 30th, bringing the total raise since his campaign began last year to $1.4 million. Faso is a former Assembly Minority Leader and gubernatorial candidate. Looking further ahead on the election front, Andrew M. Cuomo's July 15th campaign filing with the State Board of Elections disclosed the governor has more than $19 million on hand, having raised more than $4 million in the past 6 months for his potential 2018 re-election bid. Dan Goldberg and A.D. Baird reported at Politico New York that New York City reported the world's first case of female-to-male sexual transmission of the Zika virus. The woman returned home from a Zika-infected country last month and had unprotected sex her first day back in New York City, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The woman is not pregnant. Despite this latest finding, sexual transmission remains an unlikely way to contract Zika. The virus is generally considered mild for most, but can be extremely dangerous to a fetus. Of the 309 people in New York that have tested positive, there have only been 3 cases of sexual transmission. The majority of those diagnosed contracted the virus from a mosquito in Latin America, the Caribbean, or South America. The city health department has now updated its guidelines to encourage male and female condoms and warning that women may transmit the virus to female partners. Finally, K.E. Kosajansky reported in the Daily Mail that on Thursday, July the 14th, the Greene County Jail Construction Committee recommended that the Pike Company of Rochester be selected construction manager for the new county jail project. The committee interviewed Pike, BBL Construction Services of Albany, and Gilbain Building Company of Providence, Rhode Island. Turner Construction Company of New York City withdrew their proposal. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said, and I quote, "We can't go wrong at the end of the day with any of these companies. It seems that Pike is the unanimous choice among everyone," end quote. Jail Committee Chairman William Lawrence said he was looking for experience and that Pike was at the top of the list. Groden said the County Legislators Public Service Committee will be asked to approve the Jail Committee's recommendation during a special meeting 6 p.m. on Monday, July the 18th. If successful, the full legislature will vote on the proposal on Wednesday, July the 20th. Groden said, and I quote, "Negotiating the contract with Pike will be a part of the next steps going forward. A lot needs to be worked out," end quote. The New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision last year approved the transfer of more than 50 acres of land in Coxsackie to serve as the site for the new Greene County Jail. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is warning of hazardous weather conditions for today, Monday, July the 18th. There is a marginal risk of strong to possibly severe thunderstorms ahead of a cold front, mainly afternoon into the evening. In addition, storms will be capable of producing very heavy rainfall, which could cause some minor urban flooding due to poor drainage and low-lying areas. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with the temperature high near 88 degrees. For Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 65. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, it will be mostly sunny with a high near 81 degrees. On Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 56. And on Wednesday, it will be sunny with a high near 81 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. Sunrise today was at 5:36 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:27 p.m., providing us with 14 hours and 51 minutes of daylight, which is about 1 minute less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 18th day of April, 2016. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.